Winston City Council, February 7th, 2022, 7 o'clock p.m.
How are you doing, sir? How are you doing?
Well.
Oh, God.
It's processed. I've been getting the, it's going to be done in 2 weeks for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm doing it like every other day.
Once it's finally done.
I'll run all the jobs on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Tuesday, and Thursday. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I get 2 days.
Two hours.
Yes.
Thank you.
He just says an invoice, all the stuff he's charging us for that never happened, so. We're going to be having conversations.
I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Please take off your hats and join me in the national anthem, or national anthem, pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, Alicia Sullivan.
Here.
Lenny Hiras.
Here.
David Cunningham.
Here.
Dory White, thank you very much. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer?
You were talking about, no.
No. Just your.
And we don't have the minutes from last meeting to approve?
They're not ready.
Okay, thank you. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the city council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to approach the council?
Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. We did have one addition that we put on your dais tonight, and that's just to go over the lease agreement between the city and the festival.
When did you want to do that, sir?
Whatever you want. It could be done in a later meeting, but we wanted to get it for your review.
Let's let them read it. Let's read it first and go through it. Then we can talk maybe next meeting or the meeting after.
Yeah.
Thank you. Reports of boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Rebecca, how you doing? Rebecca is with the Friends of the Winston Library.
So we're just sending our quarterly budget statement to the board. So we should receive that, hopefully. We're doing pretty good. The library's not a whole lot going on over there. We've got some grants that we received and that are also in the works. We received a $250 mini grant. It's from the iRead people. They do our summer reading program. And the $250 they sent to like everyone that signed up with iRead, so we can purchase the flyers and posters and bookmarks and pencils and things like that that all have the iRead program. So we got that, which we didn't know about, so that was really cool.
Surprise, how much was that?
$250.
Cool.
So we got lots of posters and stuff with it. Then we also received a $500 grant from the Oregon State Library Association. And that one is for teen literacy. We plan on purchasing new young adult books that are more focused on the equity, diversity, and inclusion initiatives, so we can promote tolerance and knowledge among each other. So far we've got, I think, about 50 books out of that, and we still have over $100 left. So that's pretty cool.
Cool. You guys are open then on a regular basis?
Yep.
Good.
6 Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Cool.
And our volunteers are hanging in there, so as long as we've got volunteers working, we're staying open.
I know the Roseburg Library was closed for a bit, or still is. I don't know. They had the vid.
We've had on and off, but right now we're on.
Good.
We've got a couple more grants that are on the way. There's $1,000 Library of Oregon Ready to Read. That's for our story time program and children's like picture books. We also have a $10,000, which is double the amount we were expecting. $10,000 grant from the Douglas County Libraries Association, $5,000 for office technology, and then the other half is for our summer reading program, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, and then books for other needs.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So the $10,000, $5,000 goes to like computers and stuff?
Yeah.
How's that going to tie into our present computer thing, Mark? Can we involve them in that as well?
We did plan on involving them in the upgrade.
Does the $5,000 help that pretty much?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
That's incredible.
Good. Awesome. Good job.
That's where we're at for the grants, and I just apply for them as they come available. And then we've also, with our fundraising, it's been doing great this year. Our bottle drop, the last time we got a check, it was $1,300.
All right.
You're still collecting bottles?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and today I requested another $250 check from them.
I got 5 bags. I'll be bringing you.
We'll take them. It adds up.
All soda, right, Mark?
Yeah. I get the alcohol on somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah. So it adds up really quick.
So one additional question.
Yeah.
When they have bottles to give, where do they take them?
Well, we have the blue bags from the bottle drop place that have our barcode on it.
Right.
So you can either pick up the blue bags from the library and just fill it up and take them into the camp place yourself. Or you can bring it back to the library and we'll just take them in.
So when you're not open, just leave them in the hallway or what?
I would bring them in when we're open. Can't kind of.
Are they in blue bags or green bags, Mark?
They're in green bags.
Then you can leave those at my house.
Oh, okay.
If they're green bags,
I'll make sure they get them.
We can stick our barcode over the top of them because I want to bring it in. It's no big deal.
So bring it in your days and your open.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
12 to 6.
We appreciate that. We'll
make sure we get that information on the
website. Is it? Bob's doing great. The Looking Glass Elementary School had a surplus of books from when their library burned down and they had bought new ones. So they weeded through what they didn't want and came to us. So we were able to put some on the shelves, and then the rest we're going to go ahead and just give away to kids in the community. They were bought for anyway. We had a huge donation of DVDs come in, and there are hundreds of documentaries in there. So we're really excited to have some new documentaries in the library, but it's going to be a while before we get them on the shelf. As far as just numbers, we've had 44 new members we added this quarter, 134 new items, and we've had 60 users on the computer. And just another quick note. We are working with other county libraries to start the Ready Readers Book Club. It's a book club for a free book of the month for kindergarten through second grade. Kind of picks up where the Dolly Parton Imagination Library left off. So Ford Family gave a $10,000 grant to the Douglas County Library Association, and that's for all the libraries so that we're able to start this book program for kids.
Perfect. Thank you. Any more questions or possible adulation for Rebecca?
Just great job.
A wonderful job.
Great job.
Someone passionate
about it. Thank you.
Well, the beauty of it is it's thriving.
Yes. I figure as long as I'm coming to you guys, telling you about the money that I've earned and not asking for money.
It's awesome.
That is another good thing.
That's a big plus.
Did anybody talk to you about maybe giving all that money back that we gave you?
Thank you.
We can't take you anywhere, David. Thank you very much, Rebecca. Department reports. Don't see Chief Sardi here, so are you standing in for him, Mr. Guthrie? Okay.
Check it
Andy
out.
Howell, Public Works.
Good evening, Council, everybody. Just a quick update on we thought we had a low boy for our demo sweeper, but the truck broke down and got a schedule for getting another truck to get this thing out. So I'm not sure when that's going to happen.
I'm laughing with you.
No,
I don't think so.
It's a little frustrating, but I just wanted to kind of give a council update on that one. Just we're kind of still waiting on a truck.
So it was in Georgia?
Yeah.
Did you have, are we responsible for contracting that transportation?
No,
they're
taking care of all that. They're going to do the 100-point service on it, go through everything. When we get it, it'll be all checked out and everything.
Should they check the low boy too?
Yeah, we got to get it from Georgia to here, unfortunately. But I'll do just a quick update on this one.
Personally, I'd like to thank you and your crew for the wonderful cleanup you all did up the corner up here. It looked wonderful.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
Andy, just one real quick, super quick.
Of course.
There is one great big pothole just before you come to the stoplight on 42 as a cop.
county been made aware of that? I mean, that's a tire ripper.
State.
Yeah, that's a tire ripper.
Yeah, there's a couple around, but yeah, they're...
But that's bad.
We'll push them again, see if they can get some response on it.
Any other questions for Andy? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
Thomas McIntosh, Community Development.
Nothing to add to the report.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bauer?
Just a couple of quick things. As you know, because the document's on your desk, I've been working on that document. I've met with Clay. Clay's going to take it to his board. And the only thing that Clay stated that he thought might be a concern is the deposit.
It wasn't enough?
We'll work, yeah. I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
Now we'll work through it once he...
Really, $500 deposit is too much.
Yeah. If they come back and say it's too much, then we'll work out.
Then we can just raise the monthly, the annual rent.
No, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there are the two things, or three things. The three things in those documents. One, the primary one, is having adequate insurance to cover the entire structure if it burnt down as a result of the kitchen. So, that's the primary thing. And to give you the history on it again, the Festival Association built the add-on to the pavilion building. So, they've been working. At the time, they had a handshake agreement that they could use that space after they built it, pretty much in perpetuity. So, in wanting to make sure that our city asset was protected against, you know, that use, and we came up with this lease agreement. So, they're reviewing it now. Again, he didn't think there was any other issues that he would have other than that.
You know, you mentioned the fire issue. I do have a question. Did you include any text in here to make them responsible for proof of annual cleaning of their annual cleaning of the hoods and annual service or biannual service of the fire suppression?
Okay, so I did not add anything regarding maintenance of their equipment.
That needs to be in there.
Because that's, you know, it's done by a public agency that reviews that.
But not. It's probably more their insurance is going to require that. But I think there needs to be note in there someplace of those two things.
We will add that.
Yeah, they could come back and buy this.
That's a good call.
Well, having had to do it for all
those years. Right.
Okay, is that it, Mr. Bauer?
Oh, no. Sorry.
It's okay.
I did get a complaint on Tumlin going into the school. I've talked with our public works director about it being a priority. If you go over and drive down that street into the school, you can understand why they're complaining about it. It's just bump, 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 bump. It kind of looked like Johnson did before we graded Johnson Street. It's just a mass of potholes. So it has no base, you know, that's what happens over time when you don't construct the road properly, you don't maintain it properly. It goes into that condition. So we did do the other side of Tumlin going into the apartment complex when we did Carey Street. So now we gotta come back and do that short section to the school district because that's where all their buses run. Along with all of
it. And that buses are going to make it that much worse.
I mean, it can't be made a great deal worse.
So, off the top of your head, Andy, what do you think fixing that properly would set the city back? Would that be part of the West Side project or no?
I don't think so. I think it'll be kind of a standalone project. We had Knife River come there and give us an estimate. Haven't got that number yet.
Do you have a ballpark for us just off the top of your head? You won't be held to it.
35,000 range.
That's it?
Potentially.
That doesn't sound too bad.
That's just a minimal.
Is that just surface?
That's just minimal grinder and inlay, dill and silver lumber. Little spots in it.
Okay.
But part of what we've been working on is utility notifications. Because the school's talking about doing an addition, an office addition down there. They may be tapping into our sewer line. So there's some other things going on there than the works. So right now we'll have a number for that. We would like to do that Tumblin area. That's the goal that we have to do.
So you can double or triple that number if you go down and fix the base and everything?
Potentially.
Well, there's no reason to fix it 3 or 47 times.
No.
But then we end up then paying for engineering and design on the thing to do that, some geotech work. So all of that by itself will pass the $35,000, I'm guessing. So under this situation, we're just going in and taking care of it without, you know, to make it a smoother ride in there. It's going to have a design done to it at some point, and the whole road redone.
With all this engineering we're doing, we're almost getting to the point of needing one on staff, aren't we?
Well, I know one I'd like to hire, but I mean, an engineer is about $120,000.
Yeah.
Well, don't you have an engineering degree?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we just gave you an extra couple of bucks.
I think
$75,000. That retirement thing.
Plus, I don't think he has a stamp as of this point either.
I can make a stamp.
Absolutely.
I can laser out. What would you like your stamp to say?
See, we're a multifaceted group up here, Mr. Bauer.
Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah.
That's scary.
You hear that railroad? You hear that train coming?
Yeah, you hear that train. So. The other thing is, we're going to ask you under new business to approve Rob Price to the budget committee. We don't have any, other than the document you signed asking to be on the budget committee.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a reappointment, excuse me. So,
we're going to do that under like F or something, or?
Yes, you can do that.
So that's going to put him on two committees then, isn't it?
He already is on both of them.
Is he? Okay. And when are we going to start that budget process?
Next month.
Next month? Okay. Anything else, Mr. Bauer?
That's it.
Thank you. New business licenses, Nobel Roofing from Michael Gordon. Any comments or questions on Mr. Gordon? Okay. Looking for a motion then to approve Nobel Roofing's business license?
I make a motion that we approve the business license.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Thank you very much. He's back in business. Resolution 22-1022, Siphon Project Domestic Well Evaluation. Ms. Sardi, please.
22-1022, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with GSI Solutions, Inc. for an assessment of the relative risks to the domestic well at 275 Howeg Road that might be imposed by the inverted sanitary siphon sewer project for an amount not to exceed $13,580.
Thank you. Staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Mayor, members of council, members of the audience, good evening. So council's been has been privy to kind of the evolution of the project as it stands. As part of our siphon replacement project, it is going to require us to do some boring for subgrade geology, as we discussed in the previous meeting. The property owners at 275 Hellwig have expressed concerns mainly having to do with their domestic water source. So we have contacted and brokered a conversation with GSI Solutions to do an assessment of their domestic water source. which will entail looking at well logs in the area for existing separated geology as well as their existing well. Their well doesn't have to be registered with natural resources because it was put in 1952. It was actually a dug well, 4 foot dug well, is what I understand. That's all the information we have on it. So this scope of work will be a comprehensive review. It should give us a determination from hydrogeologists, the professionals that can help us understand what the subgrade hydrology looks like in terms of if it's alluvial in nature, meaning that the hydrology is in the soil, or if there is indeed an aquifer of any kind. It should help delineate all that in order to help mitigate some of the concerns for the property owners. Happy to take any questions.
In other words, the property owner is probably concerned, let's use the word scared, that their his well may not be as good as he thinks it is.
Well, they're more worried that our exploratory work, as well as the main site of the
it's
project,
gonna
will
damage.
Approach.
Yeah, yeah. To what they already have.
Any kind of subgrade.
And you said it was four. How many feet deep is the well?
Well, no, it's not. It's not deep. That's the method in which it was dug in 1952.
Okay, I thought I heard 4 feet. I thought, gee, that's a pretty shallow well.
That's what they've communicated.
They're right on the river.
That's scary.
Normally you drill down, and the information that GSI has been able to give to us already based on NRCS soil classifications and well logs in the area is that there's a depth of between 40 to 80 feet where there's hydrology. But that's all. I mean, there's not a whole lot there. So this will at least help us to figure out more. We don't know if this will fully mitigate their concerns or not, but this is something.
What method do they use here for determining? So they're going to obviously do a pre-drill, right? Is it just going to pull out core samples? What is this test in
telling
us?
Well, this assessment does not require drilling. This assessment requires, if there is anything done subgrade, it will be with the existing well and well head that already has subgrade activity from where they get their domestic water source. So they've made it clear that they don't want any boring activities to happen until this assessment gets done.
So correct me if I'm wrong. We're going to spend roughly $14,000. Two questions. Is the 14, the 13,580, was this part of the original scope of work from the engineering firm?
No, it wasn't. This has stemmed directly from concerns from the property owners.
Okay. Second question then is, they're not going to poke a hole in the ground. What are we paying $13,580 for?
Well, the assessment, so the scope of work, which is several pages long, and some of it kind of talks a loop around me because I don't understand, you know, hydrogeology. But it involves not just looking at the existing well for subgrade geology and understanding if it's alluvial or whatnot, but it requires looking at the entire area and the river. Because there's likely a lot of situations there's veins coming subgrade out of the river and they tap into that. There's different factors. So the assessment includes, I think there's four individuals listed that would do work on it.
Yeah.
There, and they have their own disease factors in there.
Yeah, so that was one of my questions, is this a company that we've used before, or have other cities used this company?
We've never had this situation before. It's kind of an unprecedented situation, and this is a rather small project for them. They do a lot of hydro studies that require a lot. So their most recent project was with John Day out east. They had quite the detrimental situation, similar to wastewater collection like we're dealing with. But I don't know their history of working with cities, but based on their professionals that they have on staff, they were recommended by Joe Kemper, who is the Oregon Water Resources Department with the state. Mm-hmm. He recommended a couple of different places. These folks have been pretty good so far to work with.
Is there any danger of the property owner losing the use of the well?
That's what this study
says. That's what this is about.
Let's say it comes out negative. OK. it's a bad report, let's just call it that. Does that affect the people using the well?
There's always a probable chance of there being some detriment on the water, the existing water table, especially during the replacement of the project. But after it's installed, it goes in, the easement's in place, the water table will go back up. But based on what we know so far, with the distance that we are away from their well, there's really a very minimal risk for their domestic water source. But aside from giving the insurances, the assessment should help us understand a lot more.
Yeah, part of that is, Mayor, Council, is this is some pre-work that's going to do determining their flow rates, things like that. So that information will be used on the basically the backside of this thing also. So we'll have some preliminary work done that'll scope out what the well's doing, the overall condition of what they currently have.
Okay. And we're going to bore, right?
Yeah, and right. We just need to have all this for the preliminary part so we can come up with our scope.
So we're gonna get a flow rate. When are they starting this work? ASAP?
So we're going to sign the scope of services if the resolution is passed.
So they'll
then,
begin
then
it.
Then we would get it on the schedule.
We get it pretty quickly then?
Yeah, ASAP.
So they're going to have their flow check done at the highest water level of the year when the... Are they going to do this? Is the sampling period going to take 6 months before they come up with an answer?
Well, the well log is only one part of it, and their flow test isn't necessarily the main intricate part. It's 500 feet away, if that's going to cause any issue with what... There's been a big misunderstanding in terms of what's actually there. The property owners feel like there's a big lake of water underground. That's not always how wells work, especially from the alluvial side of it. And quite possibly that's the case here. The hydrology is...
Meaning that the water's constantly flowing, it's not just stagnant.
Right.
Right.
And additionally, if their well is only 4 foot deep, if there was a large deposit of water, it would be below a confining layer, either rock or clay.
Right.
And they would have no access to it. That should have been designed to define more as a spring or a surface water source, if it's only 4 feet.
So, if it's 4 feet, I can't believe it would be 4 feet. We've drilled wells too. No way.
Well, I guess the stuff we have to find out, I guess.
Yeah. So before we go any farther in this discussion, I think it's important to know that these property owners do not agree with us coming on their property. They don't agree with what the report, before it's even done, they don't agree with what the report will demonstrate. So unless it demonstrates in their favor, of course. But if it demonstrates that the natural geology out there, this would have they can't say it's going to be a no chance that it would happen, because, anything can happen. But, and in this report though, aren't they doing the small diameter, or for the siphon?
No, the boring. So the boring is aside from that, and they made it very clear that they don't want that exploratory work done prior to this assessment taking place.
Sure.
So the exploratory work is simply for to help inform the overall siphon project. And we had two locations we were going to do that at. We landed on, they'll allow us to go 25 feet west of our existing easement.
But our existing easement isn't on their property.
Yeah. Let's.
You want to stand on the chair, Mark?
You see that church up there right next to the Brown River? Okay. So you follow where the green intersects the brown. That's the location of the next one up, the green area right there, right next to the river, it says Alfonso River. That's where we cross at.
Right up there.
So,
Mr. Bauer, isn't right about in here?
Yeah, that's
Mark?
Mark, he's got it marked.
Aren't we right up here?
You're right square in that area.
Yeah, right there. So so our easement comes down the river line and ends before their property, right?
So what's that going to gain us by doing this if we're not even on their property?
Because this is the point I want everyone to understand. Right now, we go diagonally across the river to the treatment plant. What we're trying to do is square it up so it's a straight across crossing.
Yeah.
To save a lot of money, for one thing. So that's the reason we're even talking.
Is it saving money if we're going to do this, and then what if this report comes back and then they want this? Like, are we actually saving money?
It would save a substantial amount of money if we were to go a straight line under on piping, lots of different treatment parts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it would.
So it helps us.
They're outside the city.
Yeah.
They are.
Not necessarily.
So, but the question
the thing
it does help them, though, too.
The
to know.
They got to flush their toilet.
The point that should come to mind is, what happens, you kind of got there, but what happens if all this stuff fails? And they just say, no, we don't want it.
Then we have to go
eminent domain.
There's possibility if we have to go condemnation on it.
Yeah,
eminent domain. So the question that we're asking right now is, can we go eminent domain on property that's not within our corporate limits? And I don't know the answer to that. I've never had that situation before. So that's part of it. So have we involved
Mr. McKinney
in this discussion?
Yes, he did not delineate there was an issue in that regard. But we did not ask him the direct question. We told him that it's in county jurisdiction, and he didn't seem to have an issue, but we're going to ask him that direct question.
I think we need to get very specific at this point.
One quick question. Now the Winston and Green Sanitary is indirectly involved with this, correct?
Yeah, indirectly.
Okay. Well, if they are in the county, how come they might not take the lead on this since they're in the county?
Because it's our problem, not theirs.
But it's a joint sewage.
Yeah, it's the it is. It's a 50-50 relationship on the treatment plant side of it. So, but the issue is that they're not involved because they have no problem getting their sewage to the treatment plant.
Right.
We have a problem. If we don't have that line across the river, we're in trouble.
But couldn't we use their geographic resource to help us out in this?
But the problem is, David, we still have to interact with this landowner on their property.
Understand.
Yeah.
But the county, you know, it's in the county.
But if we straighten it up, or if where we're at now isn't on this person's property, right?
Right.
So is there a way to go in a different direction?
So there's several elements to that.
Diagonal shot.
No, I know, but it just goes straight.
Yeah.
But there obviously has to be two property owners.
There's several elements to that. One of the things that we have to justify for our state permits is that we are being the least cumbersome as possible on aquatic or river life, which means a straight line under the river. Back when this was originally done, 1978, it was blasted and they did a cut.
They had an open cut.
There's, you'd have a SWAT team out there if you tried to do that today. it's a different precedent. So as we're looking to do the replacement, there are just so many reasons to do a point A to point B underneath, which requires us to move the beginning location to the north. The other part of this is, I want to piggyback off of what Boss was saying. This report will give a determination of a low, medium, or high risk level. The property owners have made it clear that they don't want anything to happen unless it's a zero risk. However, as a city jurisdiction, they have expressed concerns with a detriment to their domestic water source. So we're doing the responsible thing and trying to get professionals to offer a determination to mitigate.
But you know as well as I know, there will never be a zero chance. There's nobody in the world that can give them.
No, but that's what they're,
I just don't want to throw our city's money at the wind.
Okay, so there are options to that. So what if, you know, to satisfy a zero, you know, effect on their well,
do we provide them a water connection and pay for it in perpetuity until they leave the property? That's one way to mitigate that. So there's, but then you got to weigh the costs. Okay, what's that going to cost? Is that going to cost a certain amount to run that line up there? And it's going to be way less than having to cross a river on a diagonal.
But it's not solely their water source that's the issue. They're concerned with loss of farmable property, aren't they?
Oh, I'd have thought
they are. That's one of their concerns.
How could that be a concern?
Because if we start our project, we will be taking up part of their acreage, not only for the cutting of the project, but also once the project is done, we'll have to have some kind of a valving situation or some kind of building in the middle of their field, I would imagine.
There'll be security fence. If there isn't a building, there'd be security fencing around it. Absolutely.
So they're going to lose that piece of the property.
So
it would be on
so there's a value to that.
Are they in our urban growth boundary?
No, they're in county jurisdiction.
But not urban growth?
No. Yeah, it would be on the northern end, and their property, their 17 acres, is zoned farm cropland, and they do have a special assessment for farming.
Crop hay?
The understanding is they do some hay.
No, it is, yes.
No, absolutely it is.
Yes.
So, viable crop. I believe you said we're going north of the old.
Northwest.
Northwest. Is there a way we could go south and still be in city limits? And cross.
We could go straight across where we're at and then up the other side, maybe, but there would be a lot of obstacles to doing that.
There's no way to orchestrate the project and have the entryway inside the UGB or the city limits. There's no way to make that happen because they are far enough outside.
But don't we have an easement where it's at currently?
Yeah, we do.
For how many feet on either direction, on either side of it?
I think that's a 25 footer.
I was going to say that.
25 on either way?
It's 12.
25
on the
center.
So 12. So can't we run next to it?
It's going to have to be the. It's not a straight line. It's a 10.
Got it, because of the angle.
Yeah, the plant sits to the northwest across the river, so it is a vertical line. And the property lines, as they stand now, were the same in 1952 when we bought the house.
The plant sits over here.
Okay.
And the property that they're talking about, it looks different now, but it's in here. Where we want to go across, or actually it's in here where we want to go across.
Right
as it is now, it's about in here where it goes diagonally.
Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
And we want to try to go across straight here, which means we'll end up going through here with
the outflow from the city.
Right,
and then straight across.
Am I getting that right?
$13,500 actually in the long term would be shorter, less money than it would cost to have that going at the diagonal line than wouldn't it work. So that $13,000 would be a good investment.
Even more so, if we have to go through a process to declare it as a public necessity, which it absolutely is, it collects all the wastewater for the city.
Nobody wants to do that.
We don't want this cumbersome on anybody, especially property owners. But we have demonstrated goodwill and tried to do everything we can to mitigate concerns because we care about those concerns.
Okay, so we need to get back to the subject at hand, which is resolution 22-1022. Not to cut you off, Thomas, to determine whether we want to spend $13,580 to help mitigate this situation. So I'm looking for, we need to have any comments from the audience on this. Alan, anything to say?
I have dealt with some of these before because my father was a my dad was a water master at Perrydale for years. In fact, they started the water district. So he has, just working with him up there at times, helping him out, I know a lot about these water situation, wells and everything like that, because there's a lot of wells up there, and they put in the Perrydale Domestic Water District, and all those wells went down because they didn't need them anymore. So the fact that it's either alluvial, and I don't think it is, I think it's probably going to be a one that comes in from the river, through the underwood. And so I don't think this drilling is going to make a bit of difference for them. I really don't. That's just my experience.
Does it concern you about taking some of their property and making it not farmable?
I think the little bit that they're going to take, no, I've been a farmer for years, and I fence about property all the time,
okay.
Various things.
And if I may,
please,
we'll have to pay for it.
Sure.
I mean, we'll have to pay for the easement to access
a reasonable amount, not whatever the heck they come up with.
So that's the thing about condemnation, is it's all based on market value, not, you know, if you were stuck with, we want $10 million for something that has a market value of $1,000, the court, if you went through the court process, they're going to waive that off, and they're going to go market value.
Okay.
We are required through that process to get at least two appraisals, and it's appraised the easement area, the area to maintain the siphon, and it goes for market price based on the appraisal.
And
that's the process.
Okay.
By one additional note, that by doing this work, this is one step that's additional, it's positive for us in the eyes of the court, because we're trying to find a solution by evaluating the situation.
Okay, any more comments from council or questions?
No, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, looking for a motion from the council on resolution 22-1022.
I'd like to make a resolution that we accept resolution number 22-1.
I have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Thomas. Thank you so much. Resolution 22-1023, supplemental budget. Ms. Sargent, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Resolution 22-1023, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council adopting a supplemental budget for the City of Winston for the 2021-2022 fiscal year and making appropriations.
Mr. Bauer, please.
Thank you. I'll make this short. As you know, if we have something identified following the budget process that's not a part of the budget, an expenditure that's not part of the budget, we cannot spend on that without doing a supplemental budget and adding that money back into the operating budget. So in this case, we're dealing with Chief Sardi's salary increase, and because it was not budgeted, we need to do a supplemental budget to allow that to happen. And that would end my report.
Thank you.
And the supplemental budget amount in this year is $7,256.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. I have one additional question. Are we not seeking another supplemental budget for the street sweeper? Can we do that all at once, or do we have to do them separately?
No. You approved it. Council approved the expenditure based on the money that was in the budget.
But don't you have to change the budget around, though, to suit that or not?
No, we don't have
okay.
to.
Thank
my
you.
Knowledge is that we don't have to do that.
Thank you. Okay, I'm looking for a motion, or excuse me. Any comments from the audience on the supplemental budget? Questions from council for Mr. Bauer on the supplemental budget? Motion from council, please.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 22-1023 supplemental budget.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Don't spend it all at once, Andy.
I hope they open.
Yeah. Resolution 22-1024, equipment surplus. Timco 350 sweeper. Ms. Sardi, please.
Resolution 22-1024. 22-1024, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to surplus the 2000 Timco 350 sweeper at the I-5 auction.
Eddie Howe.
Well, good evening again. Basically, we kind of know where the sweeper's at. Pickup that is up and is ready to be delivered. So
you did get it up.
We did get this the pickup head up, so it'll be up. We don't know what to expect for a return. I have no idea. So I to be determined. I don't know. So
it's more of a parts thing, right?
Is I-5 auction still operating?
They are. They're doing a lot of online stuff. So the quicker we get down there, they just have more chance to get it out.
Tell you what, we drove by the other day and there was nothing in any of those parking lots. I thought, have they folded?
Yeah,
okay.
They're still up. Still
good.
Running.
Fantastic.
Don't drive it until you get it down there.
Could you get my street?
We're not. It's part of the
neighborhood. Could you get my street? Yeah.
Could you get my street? Could you get my street?
It's
any comments from the audience on Andy's old toy?
Old toy.
Looking for a motion to approve the surplusing of the Timco 350, Resolution 22-1024.
Go ahead.
Alicia makes a motion. Need a second, please?
Resolution 22-1024.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Resolution 22-1025, 22 Fund Exchange. Ms. Sardi, please.
Resolution 22-1025, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into a cooperative agreement with the State of Oregon through its Department of Transportation titled Fund Exchange Program, FEX 2022 Fund Exchange.
So basically, yeah, it's just the Surface Transportation Block Grant. The ODOT's kind of changed their language a little bit. So basically, we get the IGA with ODOT signed and sent off, and that allows us access to our funds that we currently have. $205,169.78 will be available upon request once we get the IGA signed. We can request that in one lump sum, we can request it in blocks. More than likely, we'll do our one lump sum request.
Can we use that for the repair on the street, or does it have to be on ODOT streets?
No, we can use it on that, but I believe what we're going to do is we're going to wait till the next fiscal year and tie everything in there because we have the $83,000, the ODOT monies, we have this one. So we're holding the West Side project up. We notified our engineer, we're going to hold that up. That's going to actually work out in our favor. This would allow us some time to have our utility notification. We're going to have that meeting. We're going to let the utilities come in and do their work on our West Side project roads. So this should tie in quite nicely, then we'll rebudget. Request all these funds for the next fiscal year budget.
So you're going to put this money in the bank?
What street are we talking about?
That'll be our West Side project with Glenport, Rose, Sherry from Morgan, and the pipe bursting off of Looking Glass in the neighborhood, that 15-inch AC.
Okay, anything to add, Mr. Bauer?
Yes, by doing it the way that we are doing it, the strategy that we're using, we don't have to come back and do another supplemental budget in order to spend this. By putting it in the bank, and budgeting it next year.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Howell? Question from the audience? Thank you, Andy. Looking for a motion to approve 22-1025, the 2022 Fund Exchange Program.
I make a motion we accept. Resolution number 22-1025.
I have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Upcoming, F. Rob Price's
nomination
to the Budget Committee.
Yeah.
Do I need a motion for that?
Yes, you need a motion.
Okay. Who wants to conscript Mr.?
I do. I make a motion that we accept Rob Price back to the Budget Committee.
Have a motion, look for a second.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Congratulations, Rob.
Mr. Rob.
Upcoming agenda item with Mr. Bauer.
The lease agreement with the Federal Association. I think I can think of right off the bat. Other than Oh, yes, and we'll be working on the ordinance, that's right, the ordinance to change from a signature, not recommending a change to that, but because of the change in whether or not you have to get a signature or whether you pay some money instead to get on, to be an elected official.
You mean seek signing a petition, submitting a petition versus cash, correct?
Yes, it's a petition of, it's at 10% of your ward.
Right.
But pay cash instead of collecting.
Right, but we're trying to avoid the paying of cash. We want to make sure, we personally, if we're going to look at that, I am opposed to people being able to buy their way in. It's a small town. You got to get 25 or 30 signatures of your neighbors in order to be on, have a petition to run for election here. I find it kind of a little bit cheapening the process if all you have to do is spend some money.
Yes.
I mean, go out and knock on some doors. Well, get people to know who you are.
I found when I decided to run again, my half the Ward 2 was lined up at my front door wanting to sign. I didn't have to.
Well, you know, and that's just the kind of guy you are, David. I wish I had that ability to communicate.
No, seriously, though, for me to go out and get, I think, 10 signatures, if I remember right, 10 signatures.
It's 10 or 10.
And I'm not exaggerating. It took me less than an hour.
Yeah. It's not much.
10% of those registered voters of your ward that voted.
That voted in the last election.
So it's only a few.
Yeah. Which is kind of a sad commentary, but that's why I don't want it to be easy. I want, you know, lock on some doors. That's my opinion. I'm sorry if you
don't. I agree.
If council would make a motion and it was approved along that line, that would help me get direction to the ordinance.
Okay. Would council, somebody like to offer a motion?
I make a motion that the signatures requested for, be put on the ballot for a ward council member.
And the mayor.
Be there. Should have it done.
So signatures are required.
Signatures are required.
Required of a registered voter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a motion.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Council, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Okay. So any off agenda items from council? I got one.
What?
Urban renewal. It's at 3:00 on a Thursday. The meetings generally take about 15 to 20 minutes because there's not a whole lot going on. I would really like to see urban renewal move to a council meeting night. Maybe have a 6:00 start for a council meeting and do urban renewal that way. It just frees up another day. You're going to be coming to a council meeting anyway. That's my feeling on it.
Well, the other part on that is too is that we don't have a URA every month.
Well, there's that too.
Mark can't tell me that.
Mr. Bauer.
If I may, that's an action of the URA board.
Oh, okay.
To make that. So.
So we have to have a 3:00 meeting next Thursday.
I'll make sure that message.
Sorry, you can't be coffee.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So can you get a message to the board that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure you already have it. I already have it on my calendar for 3 days.
Okay. Anybody else have any off agenda items? Go to the order. We have check copies in our packets. Announcements. Park board, 8:00. Or excuse me, 5:00 on the 8th. The 9th, we have economic development at noon in City Hall. Urban renewal is at 3:00 in City Hall on the 17th. 21st, President's Day, the city offices are closed. The 22nd, city council meeting at 7 p.m. Executive session, Mr. Bauer?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, and good night.
Meeting adjourned at 7:55 p.m. Oh, as opposed to a.m. Ha ha.